Speak to us now, Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but your word will forever last. God bless now as your word goes forth. May it be good seed and good soil, and may it produce great fruit, that our lives will be changed and never be the same. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you want to be when you grow up? How many of you remember being asked that question by some adult when you were a young, rambunctious child? Maybe it was an adult family member, a school teacher, an adult family friend. And they would look down and lean down or maybe look at you and just ask the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was your answer? I want to be a lawyer, a doctor, a nurse. Some little girl might have said, I want to be a teacher or a mommy. Little boys would say, I want to be a race car driver. I want to be a police officer. I want to be a firefighter. Because we had these dreams, these images in our mind of what we wanted to be. As a parent, what did you want your child to be when they grew up? You might have had a plan for them to follow you in your respective field. You may have wanted them to follow you in your footsteps. Ultimately, though, every parent, I think, simply wants some basic things. You want your children to be happy. You want your children to be independent. And you want your children to be self-sufficient. Independent and self-sufficient. Independent and self-sufficient. And if they can marry somebody with some sense, a couple of grandchildren would be wonderful. Hallelujah to the Lamb, right? Here's what's interesting, my brothers and sisters. What would you say if I said to you, when they asked you what you wanted to be when you grew up, that they were asking you the wrong question? What would you say if I said, when you asked your children what they want to be when they grew up, you were asking them the wrong question? See, the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, when you think about the life of a child, or you think about the life of your children or your grandchildren, what they want to be should not be the priority of their life. Somebody needs to ask their child today, what does God want you to be with your life? Somebody needs to find your grandchild. Get on FaceTime. Get on your device and ask them, baby, what does God want you to be? You see, if you ask them that question, you automatically begin to raise their God consciousness. Because if they don't know God, they're going to ask the question, who is God? And to find out what God wants for their life is the greatest discovery that they can make. For many of us, we have taken a passive role in the spiritual upbringing of our children. For those of you who have testified that you had a drug problem growing up because your mama drugged you to church all the time. You was drugged to Sunday school and drugged to Sunday morning service, drugged to afternoon service, drugged to Sunday night service. And so you made a decision that you wasn't going to do that with your children. You were going to let them find their own way to God. And instead of doing your children a service, you did them a disservice. My brothers and my sisters, each of us has a responsibility that I believe many of us have neglected, even if it's through our own ignorance. Today I want to talk to you from the thought, how to parent with God's purpose in mind. How to parent with God's purpose in mind. Now, for some of you who have children, I'm going to knock on your door. But for those of you who may not have children, I don't want you to tune me out, because I really believe that God has a word for you, because each of us in here is part of a village in which a child lives. Each of us in here is part of a child's concentric circle of contact. So even if you don't have a child by birth, you can still impact a child's life by choice. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Today, I want to share with you a topical expositional message around this idea of parenting purpose and our children. I want to share this with you because I believe there are too many of us who are not living out our purpose because nobody challenged or taught us what would be God's purpose for our lives when we were growing up. And we have not, because we did not learn that growing up, we have not now transferred that to our children, to our grandchildren, and for some of you, to your great-grandchildren. Four things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will give you some insight into how to parent with God's purpose in mind. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize your children were created by God. You need to realize your children were created by God. Look at Psalm 139, beginning at verse 13. The New Living Translation says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life, here it is, was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." You might be more familiar with this passage in the Authorized Version of the Bible, where the psalmist says, "I was fearfully and wonderfully made." He says, when I think about my life, before anybody saw me, God, you saw me. Before anybody took credit for making me, you made me. You saw me in my mother's womb and saw my whole life laid out before I took my first step. And he says to you and to me, recognize that I have created you. You are part of the creation of God. And when you know who created you, you can maximize the value of your life. Now, here's the question. If your children were created by God, then what does God want for your children? But here's the challenge. Your children can't ask and answer that question if you have never asked and answered that question for yourself. Why has God created you? Here's the second thing I want you to see. If you're going to parent with God's purpose in mind, number two, you need to realize your children are a gift from God. Your children are a gift. They were not only created by God, but they are a gift from God. Everybody say, gift from God. Psalm 127, beginning at verse 3, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates." The psalmist writes that children are providential blessings from the Lord, that God gives these gifts to parents, to families, from heaven above. Now, here's what's interesting. Throughout the Bible, when times were difficult and times were challenging, God sent his remedy to his people. And God typically sent his remedy to the world in the form of a baby. From Isaac to Moses, from Samuel to John the Baptist to Jesus, he sent his blessing, not in the form of a fully formed adult, but he sent a child as a gift to the world. What their parents wanted for their children didn't matter. What mattered was what God wanted for their children, because God gave them as a gift from him. And my brothers and my sisters, it's hard to see a child as a gift when you perceive them as an inconvenience in your life. You can't appreciate the gift that God has given you when they cramp in your style or robbing you of your childhood, even though you had them because of a decision you made. See, the biggest challenge is far too many of us have never been told, have never been taught, and have never been treated like we are a gift from God. And because your parents and your grandparents didn't treat you like you were a gift, it's hard for you to export to your child what was never imported from those who raised you. But the Bible says, children are a gift from the Lord. And sometimes you won't recognize the gift until that's the only thing or the only person that's there to take care of you at the end of your life. Children were created by God. They were a gift from God. And watch the third thing. Number three, you need to realize God has a plan for your child. God has a plan for your child. Verse 11, Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Realize God has a plan for your child. Now, Jeremiah is speaking specifically to Israel, who found themselves in captivity. And they needed encouragement as they were dealing with and living in this difficult place. They felt abandoned by God. They felt let down by God. And God wanted them to know that even in the midst of their difficulties, God says, "I've got a plan for your life." And just like God had a plan for Israel, God has a plan for your life and the life of your child. See, all of you at one time or another had your own dreams and your own aspirations. But instead of you declaring what you were going to do with your life, did you ever ask God the question, "God, what do you want from my life?" See, the truth of the matter is, the overwhelming majority of us want to live our lives and then on the back end ask God to bless it. Instead of asking God on the front end, "What do you want from my life?" and then making your way to where God is already blessing. What did God want for me? I know what I wanted for myself. When somebody asked me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I wanted to be like my father. He was the strongest man in the world. He was the biggest man in the world. He was the best man in the world. Couldn't nobody beat my daddy. I wanted to be like my dad. My dad was a police officer, so I told people I wanted to be a police officer, just like my dad. And it wasn't until I got older and I got closer and closer to being able to make that decision that my father set me down and said, "Son, you don't want to be a police officer." And I said, "Dad, why not?" And he said, no, you don't want to be a police officer. Let me tell you why. And he started sharing with me the challenges and the difficulties that he faced being a police officer in the New York City Police Department. He started talking to me about the racism that he faced in the department. At that time, no black officer had ever achieved a rank higher than sergeant in the entire police department. And he talked about the corruption of police officers. And he talked about the fact that he was more afraid of being shot in the back by his own officers than being shot in the front by criminals. He said, son, you can't do that. You got to find something else. So I decided I would be something honorable. I decided I wanted to be an attorney. No, I'm not going to be a criminal attorney. I'm not going to be a criminal attorney because I don't want to defend people who I may think are guilty, right? So I don't want to practice criminal law. I want to practice law where there are no criminals. I'm going to practice corporate law. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to practice corporate law. And I remember going to college in my economics class, microeconomics and macroeconomics. Man, I'm taking all these classes because I want to be a corporate attorney. And I was running, y'all. I was running because when my dad committed his life to Christ and then acknowledged a call to preach on his life, people came to me and they said, oh, you going to be a preacher like your dad? And I was like, Mm-mm. You're going to be a preacher just like your dad. Mm-mm. Not because I had something against preaching, but it was because I didn't want to do anything anymore just because my dad did it. And I sure wasn't going to play with God like that. And I ran, y'all. I ran. When I tell you I ran, man. I'd hang out all night and then go to church in my club clothes. I was running. And my father, he didn't say nothing. He just said, hey, man, when it's time to go to church, everybody in this house going to church. I don't care where you've been all night. You going to church. And, y'all, I ran and ran until I couldn't run anymore. I ran and ran until I found myself boxed in a corner that I had built for myself. And it was at that point that I put my plan aside and I said, God, what do you want me to do? And God made it clear that he wanted me to preach his word. Now, here's what my father told me. Even when I told my dad I was called to preach, he said, well, that's good, but you still go be an attorney. Because you got to remember, 5% of preachers in this country, only 5% of preachers in this country were full-time pastors. So he felt like the odds were against me and I would always have something to fall back on. If I had my own shingle, I could put it out wherever I was. But I made a commitment to God. When I asked God what he wanted me to do, the law came up nowhere in the conversation. And I made a commitment, despite what my father said, to do what God told me to do. God had a plan for my life. And all I can do is say today, to God be the glory for what God has done. Some of you have just begun to discover God's plan for your life. Some of you are still searching for God's plan for your life. Let me ask you a question. How different would your life be if somebody had helped put you on the path of what God's plan is for your life early on in your life? And even for those who are not your biological children, for any child that God gives you the opportunity to touch, what kind of blessing would it be to help them discover God's purpose for their life? My brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. Your child coming into this world may have been an accident. It may have been unexpected. It may have been a surprise. But God, from the beginning, knew your child would be born. And God gave that child to you as a gift. Now, I know it's hard for some of you to even recognize that when nobody told you you were a gift. And it's hard to bless your child when you were not blessed as a child. But here's the truth of the matter. You were a gift. You are a gift. And your children are gifts. And they have been given to you from God, and God has a plan for their life. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. God has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You are God's masterpiece. Here's the fourth and final thing. I said you were created by God, or your children were created by God. Your children are a gift from God. God has a plan for your child. Here's the fourth and final thing. You need to realize God's purpose for you is to disciple a child. You need to realize God's purpose for you is to disciple a child. I say a child because some of you have biological children, some of you do not. But it does not absolve you from having a responsibility to pour God's love into a generation that is coming behind you. Because when you pour God's love into a generation that is coming behind you, you touch tomorrow today because of the love you give to them. Look at Deuteronomy 6, beginning at verse 6. Let's read it together. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What has God commanded you? What does God want from us? The Bible says from the beginning of time, God knew your children would be born and dwell on earth. And he intended one day for them to come to know him as Savior and grow in him as Lord. God has a plan for your children. And part of that plan becoming a reality in their life is the role that you play in being the disciple maker they need you to be. It's amazing how many children are raising their parents today instead of parents raising their children. It's amazing how many parents are allowing children to dictate their life at an early stage instead of parents being parents and trying to instruct and direct their children in the way that they should go. I told you this story before when we had our preschool, and a five-year-old went home and complained that he didn't like it at the school. And the mother came and said, I'm going to withdraw my child because he said he doesn't like it. And I'm trying to figure out when a five-year-old got enough of an opinion to tell you what he likes and doesn't. So what does that boy eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? He must have ice cream at every meal, because when you give him vegetables, I know he doesn't sit there and say, ooh, I like this. My brothers and my sisters, God wants to draw your child into a love relationship with him, and you have to play the role in making that happen. We cannot allow our children to raise themselves. We cannot allow our grandchildren to raise themselves. Even if our children don't act like they are children, we still have a responsibility to our grandchildren, if not by birth, at least by choice. Because we invest in a future that we will not live to see when we help them become the best that they can be. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. Direct your children unto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Some of you are more familiar with the King James translation, train up a child in the way that they should go. This is not a promise, it's a principle that Solomon shares with us to train up our children in the way they should go. So how can you disciple your children to live for God? Look at A. You need to talk to God for your child. You need to talk to God for your child. Look at Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. Rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children, for in every street they are faint with hunger. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children. Somebody, you are here today because somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you, had you on their minds, took the time to pray for you. My dear prayed for you. Grandmama prayed for you. Big mama prayed for you. Called your name at the end of the bed. Prayed for you. And some of the blessings you are receiving today are from the prayers that they prayed for you years ago. They've gone home to be with the Lord, and God is still answering their prayers. And God says, just like somebody talked to God for you, you need to talk to God for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You need to pray for them. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray as much as you complain? Do you pray for them as much as you complain about them? See, one of the mistakes that I think we make when we pray for our children, we pray that God would not allow them to have any problems in life. We pray for our children to have an easy life. Matter of fact, come on, let's be honest. We felt like many of us suffered too much. So we want to make life easier for our children. You know, we wanted them to enjoy life. We didn't want them to have difficulties. We didn't want them to have tough times. And here's what we failed to realize. It's those tough times, those difficulties, those trials, those tribulations that become the crucible within which they develop character and commitment and stick-to-itiveness and perseverance, that their mental, spiritual, and emotional well-being is developed. We want to rob them of the very things that help make us into who we are today. God has a plan for your children. Don't pray them out of the plan that God has for them. Pray with them while they're going through it. But don't ask God to keep them out of it, because if God takes them out, they're going to have to go through something else later on to become who God wants them to be. That Christian author, A.W. Tozer, said, God uses no one greatly until they've been hurt deeply. And sometimes you got to watch your child be hurt in order for God to get the glory ultimately from their life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Let's read it together. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit
of that person which is in him, so also no one comprehends except the Spirit of God. You will rob your children if you simply want them to meet your expectations. Matter of fact, I don't even want my children to meet my expectations. Heck, I can't meet my own expectations sometimes. Here's what I've made a decision to do. I'm going to pray and ask God to help them meet his expectations. Because his expectations are always going to be better than mine. Look at B. We're talking about discipling your children for God. You need to talk to your child about God. You not only need to pray to God, but you need to talk to your child about God. And can I say this? I don't care how old your child is. I don't care if they're in preschool. I don't care if they're in Pampers. I don't care if they're grown. You need to talk to your child about God. Not just pray for them. You need to talk to them. I don't want to hear it. All right, you may not want to hear it, but I'm going to talk while you're here. Look at Psalm 78, verse 1. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. It's amazing how much we think we can keep from our children, and our children already know. They eavesdrop. They hear. They have intuition. They already know. But why not intentionally tell your children about what the Lord has done? Not just what the Lord has done. Don't sanitize it. Don't make it testimony worthy in terms of what you would share at church. No, tell them the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because they already know. Be honest with them. Be transparent with them and say, I messed up here. But thank God for his grace. Shouldn't be here right now. But thank God for his grace. And his mercy. I should have lost my mind. But thank God that the Lord kept me in my right mind. I was a wretch undone. But thank God that the Lord still loved. I was tore up from the floor up. But thank God. Testify to what God has done. But tell your children about what God is doing. Tell them what God is doing right now. Look at Deuteronomy 11. Teach them to your children, verse 19. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. My brothers and my sisters, you're talking about lifestyle discipleship. We ain't got to have a small group for me to talk to my son. Talk to my grandson, or take him out to lunch and let's just hang out and let's talk about the goodness of God. What is God doing in your life now? What does God want from your life? And how can I help you get there? Here's the last thing. See, you need to minister with your children. You need to minister with your children, not just minister to your children, but minister with your children. It can't be what you just talk about. It's got to be a life that you live. Joshua 24, verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. When you volunteer to go serve somewhere, if your child is of age and able, ask them to come with you. It's when you're walking. It's when you're talking. You don't have to make a special trip to pour into their life. One of the greatest joys you will ever have as a parent or as a mentor is ministering alongside someone and then seeing them walk their walk for themselves. So do you show children how to walk with God by walking with you? Other than leading them to Christ, the greatest single gift you might give to your child is to teach them, as Henry Blackaby says, to identify where God is at work and to join him there. Because when you help change your child, you help change the world. You're not just raising sons and daughters. You're raising the next generation of God's sons and daughters. Remember what the scripture says, John chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the power to become the children of God. One writer said it like this: the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons and daughters of men could become the sons and daughters of God. That each of us could fulfill our potential in God when we realize we've been created by him. We are a gift from him, and he has a plan for us. That's why we have a children's ministry. And can I tell you something about our children's ministry? We have no shortage of children. Y'all doing a good job of being fruitful and multiplying. No shortage of children, but we have a shortage of adults who feel called to disciple the next generation of children in an age-appropriate manner. We're not just teaching them right from wrong. We're teaching them how to walk in God's will for the rest of their life. And when you disciple your children, you're not just preparing them for college. You're preparing them for their calling. Not just teaching them verses, but showing them how to live in victory. Tell them the truth. Show them God's grace. Pray them through their struggles and run this race with them. Because parenting with purpose means more than just raising achievers. It means releasing and shaping believers. So don't just teach your children how to make a living. Teach them how to live for Christ. Don't just give them the world's plan for success, but show your children that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't just raise them, disciple them. Just don't feed them, fellowship with them. Just don't teach them manners, teach them mission. Don't just shape their habits, shape their hearts. Don't just give them rules, give them a relationship with Jesus, because they were created by God. They're a gift from God. God has a plan for their life, and God has a purpose for your parenting. So speak like their soul is listening. Pray like their future depends on it. Serve like eternity is watching, and love like God is working. Because when you disciple your children to live for God, when you disciple your grandchildren to live for God, when you disciple a child in your family to live for God, you don't just raise them, you release them. You release them to walk in God's will, to fulfill God's plan, and to bring God glory. Not just in time, but they will touch eternity. My brothers and sisters, each one of you has been created in the image of God, and you are a gift. And if your mama, if your daddy, if your grandparents, if they didn't have sense enough to tell you you were a gift, I apologize on their behalf and tell you, you are a gift. And if you live out your giftedness, if you come to the realization that you are a gift from God, then you won't give yourself to any man or any woman. Because as a gift from God, you are to be cherished and appreciated. And you are to have people around you to help you be the gift that God has created you to be. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I thank you, God, that there are so many of us who are living life impacted by, bound by the strongholds that entered into our life as adverse childhood experiences. God, too many of us as adults are trying to eject the baggage that was put on us when we were children. Too many of us were born with a job, born out of somebody else's inconvenience, and did not receive the blessing that we deserved. I pray now, God, because we've come to a place as dysfunctional adults when we can't help but raise dysfunctional children. And those dysfunctional children become part of a dysfunctional family. And that dysfunctional family makes up a dysfunctional neighborhood that is part of a dysfunctional community that expands into a dysfunctional city and dysfunctional county and dysfunctional state and dysfunctional country and a dysfunctional world. So God, I pray now that somebody under the sound of my voice would pray and say, God, what kind of parent, a godparent, a grandparent do you want me to be? And that we would ask our children, our grandchildren, what does God want you to be? Who does God want you to be? And take it as our responsibility to help them walk in the fulfillment of their potential in you. Give us wisdom, God, as we parent, mentor, and guide. Teach us to pray fervently for our children, to talk openly with them about your power and presence, and to walk beside them in ministry and in life. May our homes be places where your name is honored, where your truth is taught, and where your love is lived out. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.